1420 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
Keep up on the day's news, talk, and sports on Wisconsin's home for locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Steve Kathan. Underwater noises detected as the search for a missing submersible intensifies. CBS's Cammie McCormick.
With more aircraft and vessels headed to the North Atlantic, Chris Brown, who is a friend of a British billionaire on board, is trying to remain optimistic.
There's always hope. As an explorer, you never give up. I'm quite sure they're sitting there conserving oxygen, trying to keep calm, doing everything that they can, which should be somewhat limited, and just hope, we all hope, that people can get to it in time.
In the meantime, Navy experts are studying what the noises picked up could be, though it's still unclear how teams could reach the submersible, which could be as deep as 12,000 feet below the surface.
Five people are on board. It was headed for the wreckage of the Titanic. New questions about Supreme Court Justice Samuel Alito. ProPublica reports he flew to a private Alaskan fishing trip with hedge fund founder Paul Singer, a man who had business before the high court. CBS's Scott McFarland says Alito insists he did not have to recuse himself in a Wall Street Journal piece.
In an op-ed published hours before ProPublica's report, Justice Alito denied what he dubbed charges made against him. In reference to the ride on that private plane, Alito said that Singer allowed me to occupy what would have otherwise been an unoccupied seat.
The Federal Trade Commission has filed suit against Amazon.com, charging the retailer with enrolling millions of people into its paid subscription, Amazon Prime, without their consent, and then making it hard for them to cancel. There are calls for energy conservation in Texas, which is being slammed with triple-digit heat. It's a scorching first day of summer in much of the southern half of the country. Brian Eckberg lives in Tulsa with no power, no AC, and a day in the 90s.
Next few days are going to be really important. Everyone needs to be nice. It's going to be hot. People are going to be out of everything, and they're going to be mad, so a smile goes a long way right now.
Overseas, a sharp uptick in Middle East violence. CBS's Linda Gradstein is in Jerusalem.
Carloads of Jewish settlers set dozens of Palestinian cars and fields on fire, vandalizing homes and even torched a Palestinian ambulance. The settlers were responding to a deadly shooting attack that killed four Israelis at a gas station in the West Bank yesterday. That attack followed an Israeli raid on a Palestinian refugee camp Monday and clashes between Israeli soldiers and Palestinian militants.
Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell telling a House committee today more interest rate hikes may be needed to get inflation back down to 2%. Wall Street right now, the Dow is down about 9 points. This is CBS News.
Hiring is a lot easier with Indeed. Their powerful platform makes it easy to attract, interview, and hire candidates all in the same place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Did you know one in four car batteries is weak and needs to be replaced? O'Reilly Auto Parts will test your battery for free. If your battery needs to be replaced, our professional parts people can help you find the right SuperStart battery for your vehicle and budget. Don't wait. Get your battery tested for free today at your local O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Adopt US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager, Learning the Lingo.
GOAT, G-O-A-T, acronym, stands for Greatest of All Time. As in, spaghetti sandwiches for dinner? They're my fave. Dad, you're the GOAT.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt U.S. Kids, and the Ad Council.
News is brought to you by Gingras Thompson & Wachs, a statewide team of personal injury lawyers getting you the justice you deserve. Call 855-954-1186 for a free consultation. When it comes to achieving successful jury verdicts and settlements, one law firm stands out above the rest. Gingras Thompson & Wachs, a $6.2 million settlement for a woman permanently paralyzed as a result of medical malpractice. $4.9 million to members of a family injured due to the negligence of a truck driver and his employer. Call Gingras Thompson & Wachs today. 855-954-1186.
All in to win. Gingras Thompson and Fox. GTW Lawyers.com.
Hi, I'm Mandy Roberts, financial advisor with Thrivent. I'm here to help you assess your finances and find solutions to meet your needs. Let's ensure you have a strategy for success. To get started, call 715-470-1303. That's 715-470-1303.
From the Civic Media News Desk, I'm Melissa Kay. Following is a list of upcoming meetings in the listening area for Thursday, June 22nd. The South Central Library System Board of Trustees will meet at 12:15 at the Piney Library in Madison. In Wood County, the Edgewater Haven Donation Ad Hoc Committee will meet at 4 in the River Block Building in Auditorium Room 206. Following that, the Health and Human Services Committee will meet at 5 in the same room. In Portage County, the Healthcare Center Committee will meet at 5 at the Portage County Annex in Conference Rooms 1 and 2. In Adams County, the Economic Development Meeting will take place from 7:30 to 8:30 a.m. at Create Adams County. Adams County residents and all Wisconsinites are invited to take part in an internet survey to better understand internet service needs and barriers. The Wiser survey is on the Adams County website, or you can call 608-261-6026 to take the survey if you have no internet access. I'm Melissa Kay for Civic Media News.
Local radio station anytime.
Unrelentlessly positive.
Innovative.
Innovative?
Innovative. Whatever.
It indicates. Indicative?
Hey, can we focus?
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time. This is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Wisconsin. Welcome to the 11 o'clock hour of As Goes Wisconsin. I am your host, Kristen Bry, along with Jane Madnair. And it's Wednesday, so Greg Bach is here. And a quick shout out to happening in downtown Waukesha right now is River Rhythms, which we talked to Robin earlier this week.
Exactly.
So Wednesdays, 11 to 1:30. There's music happening, and our own Johnny Watermolen is down there, so make sure you say hi if you make it down.
Yep, he's got the tent set up. He is going to be there until 1 o'clock, and then Johnny is taking the WKAUK set to the Pewaukee Lake Country Farmers Market. That is at Christ Lutheran Church on Pewaukee Road from 3 p.m. until 7 p.m., and I know for a fact that he has Tootsie Pops to give away.
Oh, did you give him the Tootsie Pops?
I gave him the credit card to buy
I'm out of here. See y'all later. Yeah, so Tootsie Pops.
I was gonna say, did you give him all the discarded flavors from our Tootsie Pop
no,
bowl?
No, he bought new Tootsie Pops.
All right. Well, speaking of music, we're very excited to have our next guest here. It's been a while since we've had him on. But ladies and gentlemen, Matt Wild, co-founder and co-editor of Milwaukee Record, a local arts and entertainment website that has somehow existed since 2014 is
That's
back
right.
on the show.
What a setup.
Thank you. It has somehow, against all odds, not only am I alive, but I have a job that this phony baloney job that I made up almost 10 years ago with, of course, my partner in crime, Tyler Moss. Could not do it, of course, without Tyler. Hello, Kristen. Hello, Jane. Hello, Greg. How's everyone doing?
We're doing great.
Great to see you, man.
I'm loving this energy, the Matt Wild energy happening
Matt Wild
here.
Energy. Oh,
well, yeah, when you bring me on, you're getting energy, and you clearly need to fill some time. So it's like, let's get Matt on here. He can blather on about something for about 17 minutes. So it probably bodes well for your show, Kristen, that you haven't had me on in some time, which means that you've actually had guests of, you know, a certain quality. So.
Okay, Matt. All right, enough with
the self-deprecation.
Yeah, wow. Leave it to the stand-up comedians over here. That's my jab.
Okay, all right. You're right. All right. Let's get down to business.
All right. Well, actually, I wanted to give you a shout-out because Gary Witt, owner of Pabst Theater and all the Pabst Theater group, gave you a very nice shout-out recently as far as your coverage of entertainment in Milwaukee, and it came at a dig at the expense of some of the other media outlets and their lack Perfect. Of coverage of music and concerts, but he specifically called you out on how good of a job you do as far as covering the entertainment scene in Milwaukee. So kudos.
That was very nice. I wrote a review of the Flaming Lips show, which was last week at the Riverside Theater. Hadn't seen the Flaming Lips in many years, and saw them last Tuesday at the Riverside, and it was a very a very lovely, very affecting show. And I kind of walked away very inspired to write a what I thought was a very lovely piece, kind of a not your typical concert review. So I kind of, you know, went off the rails a little bit. But I like doing that sort of thing. And yeah, I was very happy that very happy to get a compliment from Gary. The band itself, Flaming Lips, they shared it and did the whole thing. So yeah, it did really well.
That's
it was
awesome.
Really nice.
Congrats.
You know,
yeah, it was a nice thing to write. So I'm glad it resonated with people.
You know, I'm glad you used the word affected. I feel like the Flaming Lips are a band, even if you don't like them or if you don't know them, you're not a huge fan, I still think everyone should see them because I feel like you're going to walk out of that concert feeling joy and positive. I've seen them 8 times.
Oh, wow.
Oh,
I'm bummed that I missed them last week because I saw them at the Riverside years ago and I danced on stage in a Yo Gabba Gabba costume for the entire time.
Oh, you
time.
Were one of, yeah, one of those.
I was one of the dancers.
There, yeah.
And it was they can make you feel so good. And I love the fact that they've inspired you to write a great article, too. So, yes, big ups to the Flaming Lips.
Big ups.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, you have a lot more to write it on in the next couple of weeks because Summerfest is back.
It's very, very exciting. Summerfest, you mentioned before the break that it had kind of snuck up on you. And, yeah, I think that's something we could talk about. It does have that feeling now that it's this weekend, quote unquote, weekend format. It's actually Thursday, yeah. Friday, Saturday, 3 consecutive blocks of Thursday, Friday, Saturdays. It does tend to kind of sneak up on folks, and it's certainly changed. And, you know, from years past when it was like a big, like 11-day block, or I think they would take like a Monday off or whatever to, you know, clean the bathrooms
clean.
Or whatever. But, you know, it was a big block of, you know,
it was 10 days, fest. Right? It was 10 days in a row.
When I was a kid, it was uninterrupted.
Yeah.
From the Thursday to the week, like a week and a half.
I think it's until 2019 it was uninterrupted.
Well, no, for a couple of years they were taking that like July 4th off because just no one was coming in.
That's right. So, yeah, now they started this 3-weekend format, I believe, in 2021, mm-hmm. I want to say, was the first time. So there obviously wasn't a Summerfest in 2020 mm-hmm. at all. And then they came back in 2021 with this 3-weekend deal. And that year was very, very strange. Not only was it just kind of, you know, whether or not it was out of the pandemic is, you know, up to you know,
the
everyone. But it was still kind of in that shadow. And it was like pushed back until like late in the summer. It was practically fall.
That's right.
Yeah. 2021. Yeah. The opening weekend was like Labor Day weekend, and like nobody went because, you know, for a million reasons, and like including me, it's like I have Labor Day plans. I go camping mm-hmm. for Labor Day, and so like nobody went. I think the subsequent weekends picked up a little bit, so that was kind of a very bizarre year. And then last year, it was kind of, I guess, back to quote unquote normal, back to the 3-weekend format again. And now in 2023, I am very, very curious about this year's Summerfest because 2023 feels like the real deal. We're out of the pandemic. You know, I'm going to say it. Pandemic. We're out of the pandemic. It's, you know, it's post-pandemic. It's here it is. I'm really curious, like, how this one is going to pan out because I don't know. I like Summerfest. I have aged into the, you know, like prime Summerfest demographic of like everything I'm excited to see at Summerfest. All the artists are playing at like 3 p.m. So
check out Collective Soul.
Yeah. I'm, you know, it's like very exciting. It's like I'm seeing Jenny Lewis at 4 p.m.
Oh.
Like, I cannot wait. Super excited. And ooh, Collective Soul at 10. I'm going to have to think about that. But so I don't know. I'm just very, very curious about this year. Attendance at Summerfest has been interesting.
It has been declining.
It has been declining. And even before the pandemic, I think the last 2019, the last kind of pre-pandemic year, the attendance was 718,144. That was actually the lowest at the time, the lowest attendance in like 30 years for Summerfest. That was 2019, before the pandemic. Then, of course, in 2020, there was no Summerfest at all. 2021, it was 409,000. And then last year, 2022, it was a slight uptick, but really not that much. It was 445,000 people.
And that's cumulative over all of the days. So that could be repeat people coming back?
That's a really good question. I could not tell you. I don't know.
I know that. So when I worked for Pride Fest, we would check the counters when you walk in. It clicks like, or with tickets. You can do ticket scans, or you can count when you walk in that like that thing. That bar will click the visitors. Mm-hmm. So you can get those counts. So,
but like if you're someone who goes every single day, mm-hmm. you get counted 9 times.
Possibly, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yep. So
I would think so, yeah.
So the overlap there. So I guess we're talking to Matt Wild, who's a co-founder and co-editor of Milwaukee Record, about Summerfest, which kicks off this weekend. I like Summerfest. I like going to walk around. I would say there's no one specific that I did. Greg rolled his eyes at me this morning. We are going to go see Dave Matthews Band next week. Which I'm very excited about. It's very nostalgic. He puts on a great show. I don't care. But I still just like the vibe of going down, and there's music everywhere. Yeah. And when the weather's good, you're like, this is awesome. Like, you can just kind of walk and roam from stage to stage and find new music. But I guess in thinking through those numbers, and I'm sure I'm not the first person to ask this question, but like at this point, who is Summerfest for?
Yeah, that's kind of the big question. And it's, I think, you know, for so long, it was a festival. It's such a bizarre kind of idiosyncratic festival. And it's part of the reason why I love it so much. It's this weird festival that tries to be like everything to everyone, mm-hmm. You know, as much as it can. And of course, it's going to leave out some real kind of, you know, outlying kind of music genres. But like, you know, there's not a lot of hardcore music at Summerfest. Actually, there might be this year. Come to think of it. But, you know, it tries to be everything to everyone. It tries to have a little bit of everything. And I think for the longest time that worked for Summerfest throughout the, you know, like 70s and 80s and into the aughts. I think the highest attendance year for Summerfest was like 2001 or the early aughts. I think it topped 1 million people. And that's back when it was, yeah, 10 or 11 days. But these days, I'm just always curious. Yeah, that is the question. Like, who is this for? Because I think the music business and just the way we consume music has changed so much just in the last, you know, decade, really. And music has become so fragmented and so niche. And fandoms there's just a million tiny little fandoms of people who like absolutely love one artist that the fandom, you know, right next door has never heard of. Mm-hmm. And you just don't have these big tent mainstream artists like you used to. I mean, of course, there are some, and, you know, there are people like, you know, the very top would be, you know, people like Taylor Swift or Beyonce, folks like that. They're still out there, but they're just not as many as those big mainstream artists as there once were that would, you know, there'd be a dozen of them playing like any random Summerfest 1 year. And now it's like, yeah, I mean, Dave Matthews Band is, you know, I mean, there are a lot of these legacy groups that, you know, do have a big audience, but, you know, especially the ground stage headliners, I just are increasingly more niche, and there are real dedicated fan bases for a lot of these artists. But like I said, if you ask the person standing next to you if they know this person, like, I have no idea who this is. So,
and it's so interesting because we're going to talk about this more after the break, but I feel like that's the same thing with a lot of different media. Like, there's no movie stars anymore. Because there's a lot of famous people. There's lots of people who have millions and millions of followers that you have never heard of, right? Because we all live in our little, like, corners of whatever platform we consume stuff on. So we got to take a break, but we're talking to Matt Wild, co-founder and co-editor of Milwaukee Record, about Summerfest. We'll be back in a minute.
Law firm of Gingras, Thompson & Wachs has a track record of making life-changing, positive differences for their clients. $5.25 million to a woman who suffered brain injuries and her husband passed away when struck by a drunk driver. $1 million to three different individuals injured by drunk drivers. $1 million settlement to a man injured in a motorcycle accident. Call Gingras, Thompson & Wachs, 855-954-1186.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly. Did you know 1 in 4 car batteries is weak and needs to be replaced? O'Reilly Auto Parts will test your battery for free. If your battery needs to be replaced, our professional parts people can help you find the right SuperStart battery for your vehicle and budget. Don't wait. Get your battery tested for free today at your local O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Hello, doorman. I have questions. Word around Wisconsin Rapids is that DoorWorks is the business to ask about all things doors.
Why, yes. For over 3 decades, we've been the premier door service provider in Wisconsin Rapids and the surrounding areas.
What services do you provide? And can I order a custom style or color?
We supply, install, and service a variety of doors. If we don't have it in stock in our large warehouse, we customize the style, color, and more. Call DoorWorks for a free estimate today.
Tired of low or no connectivity? Do you live in BTN, Bug Tussle Nowhere? We want to talk to you. Bug Tussle brings high-speed internet to the places others don't. No contracts, no data caps, truly unlimited internet. Call 877-227-0924.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
From the home of NASCAR's Dick Trickle, locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM, your news, talk, and sports station.
Highs approaching 84, 89 Saturday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently,
summertime, when the weather is hot, you can stretch right up and touch the sky. When the weather's fine, you got women.
Welcome
got
back women to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Bednar. He is Greg Bach. We are talking to Matt Wild from Milwaukee Record, and we're going to get right to the call on the phone from Scott. We have a question.
Scott from Chicago, what do you want to ask?
Hey, so I don't recall whether Lollapalooza was a response to Summerfest or the other way around, but it seems like when the artists were released for Lollapalooza, the reception was very underwhelming. A lot of people were saying, like, I don't see a single artist I want to see this year. And I remember maybe 10, 15 years ago, it used to be the number one thing in Chicago. I guess kind of my question is, does it seem like music festivals as a whole are on the decline?
I would say you're absolutely right. I think the big festivals, your Coachellas, your Lollapaloozas, Bonnaroos, like that, I think there was kind of a bubble that burst even maybe right before the pandemic started. Of course, that's kind of the big division point, 2020. But even before that, I think it was getting to a point where a lot of these festivals were just kind of getting too big. And like I was talking about before, everything had become so fragmented that there was just so many bands that, you know, maybe, you know, 20 people were really excited about, but that was it. I absolutely agree. Speaking of Summerfest and Lollapalooza, I remember one of my first shows that I ever went to was Lollapalooza in 1994. Which was held at the Summerfest grounds. This is way back when Lollapalooza was like a touring thing, mm-hmm. Toured the country. And that was like a huge, huge deal. And that was like my first big show that I ever went to. I was still in high school. And it was actually the Flaming Lips played like outside on the second stage. But like the headliners were, I believe it was the year that Nirvana was supposed to play. They obviously did not. But it was like the Smashing Pumpkins, the Beastie Boys, Nick Cave, the Frogs from Milwaukee, the Breeders, on and on and on. And that was, you know, really felt like a big tent, kind of very of the time alternative bands of that era. But, you know, as time has gone on, even those bands, which, you know, got played 24 hours on MTV, there's just nothing like that anymore. And everything has become so fragmented. So, yeah, I think, whether it's Lollapalooza or Coachella, I think a lot of those festivals just kind of got too big and they just don't quite fit into the current musical landscape.
Thanks for calling, Scott. Thanks for listening too.
Yeah, it's interesting of just the, like, what do you want to spend your money on?
Well, that's the thing too, is when you tell me you're going to Lollapalooza or Ride Fest in Chicago, you're telling me you're going to go see some bands. If you're telling me you're going to Bonnaroo or Coachella, you're telling me you have money. That's what you're telling me. Like, that's what I hear when I hear those two festivals, because they're very expensive festivals. Yeah. And they're about luxury and glamour and stuff like that.
What does going to Burning Man tell you about a person?
Oh, just wash yourself and stop reading so much bee poetry, you hippie.
You're a leather worker. Yeah. I don't know.
You own an artisan mayonnaise shop. I don't know. The question I have is with this format now, the three weekends, and this is, I mean, I'm not saying it's conspiracy theory because it's not that deep, but could Summerfest be tempting with the idea of like going to a weekend festival, like one weekend? You have all that space. You could pack it with all the bands they have at Lollapalooza in an easier way to access them, charge a huge ticket price, and you have one weekend Summerfest Music Festival, and there it is. And you can have those tentpole legacy bands playing at all these stages, and you can also have up and coming musicians playing in the daytime as well, not just local bands or touring bands who happen to be there in the day. I mean, could that be where Summerfest is going?
That's interesting. I've never considered that. I have been kind of wondering about just the size of Summerfest, especially when I went last year. Again, attendance was, you know, like in the 400,000 range, 450 or whatever, but it just struck me there was just so much space that was not being used. And there were so many like beer kiosks that were just closed. And it just seems like that entire grounds is so, so big. And it worked well, you know, for decades and into the early aughts. But now, again, that's why I'm really curious about this year. Mm-hmm. Like if this year is a big rebound or not, because I did get this sense last year. I was like, boy, this just feels, the grounds feel too big. And even the three weekend format, Greg, like you were saying, maybe feels too big and too spread out. I don't know.
Because there is one thing that Summerfest does do, and I think especially since in the 21st century, is a reinvention, a revitalization. Because I remember growing up, when you went to Summerfest, you were always seeing the REO Speedwagon cover band, the Journey cover band, the Meatloaf cover band. And then all of a sudden you start seeing bands like, oh, these are bands I really like and my friends really like, and they're popular on alternative radio, starting to bring in different acts and reinventing to make it more palatable. So maybe this next step is making it for the masses.
Yeah. Well, with the minute and a half that we have left, Matt, what's coming up with Milwaukee Record? Any shows, any movies?
We have a movie tonight, actually. We do a monthly screening at the Avalon Atmospheric Theater in Bayview, and tonight we are screening Starship Troopers, the classic, oft misunderstood film from the 90s, Starship Troopers. That's screening tonight at the Avalon at 7 p.m. Tickets are still available, and we'll be back next month at the Avalon. We always do these old retro screenings, so yeah, check us out.
Very great. That's great. Well, we'll have to have you back sooner than we won't go as much time in between appearances. Right. And so
I'll be waiting right here in my office.
I know, it's not the EAA that you came on last year and bitched about. What was the air show? You're not a big fan of the air show.
The air and water
show. But not the one in Oshkosh, the one in the Milwaukee. Yes. You are, I remember.
It's awful.
So maybe we'll air and water. See, I'm not alone.
It's awful.
We'll have you back to complain about that again this year. Get off my lawn.
That is July 22nd to the 23rd, so buckle up.
All right, Matt Wild is the co-founder and co-editor of Milwaukee Record. Certainly check them out. It is a very entertaining website with lots of good writing and lots of great reviews of music, local music. Thanks for your time, Matt.
Thank you.
All right, we're taking a break. We'll be right back.
We go fishing or go swimming in the sea. We're always happy. Last we're living, yeah, that's our philosophy.
From Alexander Field to the Central Business District, locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
For Civic Media, I'm Melissa Kay. Here's what you need to know in Central Wisconsin. It's officially summer, and the Central Wisconsin High School Trap Team Booster Club is hosting a Brat Fry starting this Friday and running all weekend. On June 23rd, 24th, and 25th, you can support the 11 team members from the Lincoln, Nakusa, Port Edwards, and Adams Friendship High School Trap Team. They're headed to the USA High School Clay Target League Nationals in Mason, Michigan in July.
The Brat Fry is at 998 Ranger Road in Wisconsin Rapids. Friday, 11 to 5, Saturday, 9 to 5, and Sunday, 9 to 3. Temperatures across Wisconsin are expected in the 90s for the next few days. Doctors and nurses are urging you to know the symptoms for heat exhaustion. That's when your body can't control its temperature. It usually helps to go indoors or in the shade and have a cool drink of water. Heat stroke is more serious. It's a medical condition when your body suddenly stops sweating. I'm Melissa Kay for Civic Media News.
News is brought to you by Gingras Thompson & Wachs, a statewide team of personal injury lawyers getting you the justice you deserve. Call 855-954-1186 for a free consultation. When it comes to achieving successful jury verdicts and settlements, one law firm stands out above the rest. Gingras Thompson & Wachs, a $6.2 million settlement for a woman permanently paralyzed as a result of medical malpractice. $4.9 million to members of a family injured due to the negligence of a truck driver and his employer. Call Gingras Thompson & Wachs today. 855-954-1186.
All in to win. Gingras Thompson and Fox. GTWLawyers.com.
Here's what's happening. WFHR Community Calendar is brought to you by Something Sweet, Swiftwater Ice Cream. Enjoy the guilt-free, no-fat, no-sugar scooped ice cream and the 32 flavors of Cedar Crest. And don't forget their made-to-order appetizers. It'll leave your taste buds dancing. Family-owned and operated and open daily from noon until 9 p.m. Swiftwater Ice Cream in Nakusa, or find them on Facebook.
The United Way of Southwood and Adams Counties will be presenting the Alice Report at the McMillan Library All-Purpose Room, June 22nd at 10 a.m. and 4 p.m. Registration is appreciated. Contact Ben at 715-421-0390 or Ben at uwswac.org. VFW Post 2534 and VVA Chapter 101 will be having their next Brat Fry on Saturday, June 24th at the Quality Foods on West Grand Avenue from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Proceeds benefit veterans throughout central Wisconsin.
Radio advertising can change your business in a flash. Go from waiting around to no time to spare in no time flat. Do you have an event, need to hire, or have a message you need to get out? Call me, Ashley, today, 715-295-4922, because marketing starts early.
You should call my mom. She's good at this advertising stuff.
Call me today, 715-295-4922, and let's get started.
If you're searching for a lawn service that delivers exceptional results, S. Johnson Lawn Service is at your service. With years of experience in the industry, their team specializes in custom designs and complete remodels. And S. Johnson Lawn Service is now hiring drivers and a licensed fertilizer technician. They're also willing to train. Visit sjohnsonlawnservice.com or call 715-305-4729 today for a free estimate. That's 715-305-4729. S. Johnson Lawn Service, quality landscaping and design services at competitive prices.
Hey Badger fans, heard about the Varsity Collective yet? The Varsity Collective was created by Wisconsin alumni with three goals. First, to help Badger student-athletes maximize their name, image, and likeness opportunities in college and beyond. Second, to support Badger student-athletes in the classroom and life through our mentorship program. And third, to facilitate charitable partnerships throughout the Badger community. The best part, you can be part of it. Learn how to support our Badger student-athletes at thevarsitycollective.com. That's thevarsitycollective.com.
Locally grown 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
Here's your forecast from Locally Grown Radio, WFHR. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times this afternoon, with daytime highs approaching 87. Southeast winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Mainly clear tonight, lows around 59. A blend of clouds and sun tomorrow, highs around 89. Upper 80s Friday, low 90s Saturday, with a chance for scattered thunderstorms. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 78.
Much because I think, you know, every kid's going to get a chance to go play in college or whatever, but just because of what it teaches you. And the thing is, I was very fortunate to be able to play all of these different sports. And my parents made sure I was active and involved in all these things, but that is not the case for everyone. And so I'm so excited to welcome our next guest. Quentin Prince is the executive director of the Milwaukee Youth Sports Alliance, which is a collective effort to ensure Milwaukee's youth have access to high quality sports program. Welcome to the show, Quentin.
Thank you. Thank you. Happy to be here.
And so tell us more about Milwaukee Youth Sports Alliance.
Yeah, so the Milwaukee Youth Sports Alliance is a relatively new organization. So it started in 2018, essentially from a series of conversations that were happening in the community. The Greater Milwaukee Foundation had an event called On the Table. And so essentially what they did is they tried to tackle Milwaukee's problems by convening stakeholders and, you know, discussing these problems and finding solutions to them. And so from one of these conversations, they talked about youth sports and what youth sports looked like in Milwaukee. And so there were a number of stakeholders at the table who decided, you know, we need to do something. And so in 2018, the Milwaukee Bucks, Beta Philanthropies, Milwaukee Kickers, and then America Scores Milwaukee essentially formed what we now know as the Milwaukee Youth Sports Alliance. And so that's how we started in 2018. And so we are essentially, like you said, a collective effort to support and amplify what youth sports looks like here in Milwaukee to make sure, ensure that all youth have access to high quality youth sports programs that support not only their physical well-being, but also their mental well-being.
So then how does it work, like, practically? Because I'm assuming you guys aren't the ones that are necessarily running the Little League or running the basketball tournaments. And there's so many different sports that kids can get involved in. And so how do you like the Alliance bridge the gap between kids who want to play and getting them connected to the programs that already exist or making those programs even better than they already are?
Yeah, exactly. So we, as an organization, see ourselves as the intermediary. We aren't the organization that are putting on the events. We're supporting the organizations that are already doing the great work. We kind of see ourselves as like the intermediary, but then like the governing body of all youth sports. And so if you've got organizations like the Boys and Girls Club or Milwaukee Rec or any private sports organizations, we support the work that they're doing and amplify not only the work, build capacity and then build awareness. You know, if there are organizations within communities that are offering sports programs that kids don't know about, we want to make sure that the word is getting out and the parents are able to access those programs. So that's kind of the function that we see ourselves in. It's somewhat of a new idea to have an organization that is a youth sports organization, but we don't offer sports. Mm-hmm. We're the supportive body. And so when I'm talking to people about the work that we do, they often are like, well, what do you do? When can I sign my kids up for basketball?
Where's the registration form?
Exactly. And so I'm like, you know, we don't do that, but we've got 72 organizations that are part of our membership that we want to connect you to. And so our role or our focus is to make sure that the community is connected to these organizations and then support those organizations. So, for example, we provide training for all of our members. And that training consists of training all coaches and mentors in social emotional learning, trauma informed care, and sports based youth development. We want to make sure that those coaches have that foundation to kind of build off of when they're interacting with youth. You know, if we are as parents entrusting these coaches to do great work with our kids, we want to make sure that they're adequately prepared in order to understand what youth development looks like and how to manage a kid's emotions or how to integrate social emotional learning into your practices, or understanding that some kids might come with some level of trauma and our engagement with them can determine whether or not they have a great experience in sport or a horrible experience in sport. Yeah. And so understanding those things is, you know, kind of like the meat of what we do.
We're talking to Quentin Prince, who is the executive director of the Milwaukee Youth Sports Alliance, about the program, how it works. But I also, like, I kind of touched on this in the beginning. Like, I know what sports gave me and gave my friends and stuff, but like, there's actual data that shows what youth sports can do for a kid, right? As far as like the benefits it provides for their character, for their success, for just like finishing school. So what are some of the data points or success stories that you point to as far as like why this is so important to fund and prioritize?
Exactly. So we know that, you know, kids participating in sports, they get all kinds of things outside of the physical wellness. You know, it dabbles in how to teach them to be a leader, communication skills, how to work within a team. We know all those benefits, but we don't always see sports as that thing that provides all those benefits. And that's one thing that we want to do as an organization, is to get people to understand it's not about your kid just going to play in the game. We're trying to create great humans. And so Understanding the benefits that you get from sport. Like you said, there's tons of data out there that show that. But then also getting people to understand that sports is not something that's separate from youth development. It's a part of the whole. Hmm. And so making sure that people understand, if you want to make sure that your kid is holistically developed, you have to integrate sports in there, because it provides all those other things. And like you said, we see the data to show, you know, if a kid participates in sports, how they do better in the classroom. They're more engaged, they're more active, they're more attentive. If a kid participates in sports, how that impacts health disparities and future health outcomes. If a kid participates in sports, we understand that they're less likely to be out in the streets, you know, committing some type of crime. So it's connected not only to education, health, and, you know, the community as a whole, as far as the benefit that it provides a kid an outlet to be involved in something positive and not out there doing negative things. So we understand all of those things, and we want to make sure that the community at large understands that.
And so with, because this, as I was reading a little bit more about this, there is a huge discrepancy, though, and this is part of why you guys exist as an organization. And I think Wisconsin Policy Forum, which we have on the show a lot, they did a whole paper on this as far as the discrepancies of access to sports. And that's things that I, having been a kid, didn't really, you know, you don't necessarily, and I don't have a kid yet, but it's like the cost of being in sports and whether or not your schools has sports. And so what has kind of the landscape been, is like created barriers or obstacles to kids actually participating?
Exactly. So when we started the organization, the Wisconsin Policy Forum and our leaders at MISA essentially put together a report, and that report was that report was titled Above the Rim, and it gave us a high level overview of what youth sports looked like in Milwaukee, but then also the barriers to accessing sports. And one of the top two things were transportation and cost. And so we understood that kids wanted to participate in sports, parents wanted them to be able to participate in sports, but they lacked the financial means to be able to access it. And so then that creates a barrier. So that's part of our mission, is to make sure that kids have that access. So whether it's us partnering with organizations that can help subsidize the fees and costs that come along with that, or getting organizations to understand that when you create this fee structure, you have to be conscious of the fact that you might be creating a barrier.
Yeah.
And so I often have a conversation with private sports organizations that, you know, have high fees. You know, soccer, for example, is an organization or a sport that historically is like there, or not historically, but like within the last few years has increased like that pay to play model. And so kids are essentially boxed out of that. I was talking to a gentleman last week over at Northwestern Mutual, and he was talking about his kids participating in sports and how they were shelling out at least 10 grand a year for the kids to participate in just soccer programs.
And how old were the kids?
12.
Jeez.
Quentin, you said $10,000?
$10,000.
That's more than a year at like a UW school.
Ridiculous. And so we want to make sure that those type of things aren't necessarily happening and boxing people out of the access. Because again, if you don't have access to the sport because of the fees that are associated with it, then you miss out on all those other things we talked about, the benefits of, you know, all the other benefits that come along with sport that we know of. So yeah, we want to make sure that kids have access.
That is, because I read, it's like the privatization of youth sports. And like, you think about it, you think about like AAU tournaments and all these things that are your kid has to do this if they're going to have any chance of playing in college, which totally loses sight of all the benefits of benefits of playing sports, not just it being a stepping stone to the next thing. It's like, no, you're actually like being a better person, learning teamwork, like learning how to lose, all these things. And so when was the kind of like the tipping point of when sports were just kind of available and like youth sports was a, I don't want to say a public good, but as far as it was just like,
it was
just
there.
Could be part of it versus you needed to have money to play.
You went to the Y, you signed your club for soccer and they played soccer for a few years. That was it. Like that's what we did when I was little. It was just there.
Exactly.
And so when did that start to change?
So in the early 2000s is actually when it changed. So, you know, when I'm having this conversation with people about access to sports, I reference when I grew up in the 80s and 90s and I was playing sport. If you walked around a neighborhood and you asked 10 kids, do you play a sport? Nine out of 10 would say, yes, I play a sport because I'm able to participate in this league and this league and whatnot. Now we don't have that because we got the prioritization of, you know, what sports look like. And I understand it's business. It's a big business. But, you know, the more programs that you don't allow access to, the more kids who lose out on the opportunity to participate in sports. And so there are sports clubs that are out there that understand that, and they are determined to make sure that there's access and equity when it comes to sports. And they're doing tremendous work. It doesn't, you know, hurt their programs at all. But it really does hurt my heart sometimes when I see families who want to participate in sports but don't have the means, or when I'm talking to, you know, colleagues or friends or peers, and they're like, you know, my son, I was talking to one last week. She was saying she was packing. I was like, are you packing? You moving? Where are you going? Oh, my son has a baseball tournament, and he's going here, here, and here. And then I asked her how much she is paying for her son to participate in these programs. And, you know, it's unfortunate that, you know, that is the business, and hopefully we'll see some change, because ultimately the things that we do now when it comes to sport will determine what sports looks like 10 years from now. And so if we don't find a way to change, we're going to have even more kids missing out on those opportunities 10 years from now.
Well, and also missing out on probably some really good athletes.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, like kids too. Who like, you know, and it's not always a meritocracy of who gets opportunities to play versus who gets, you know, whose parents can necessarily ship them off to be in every tournament and on every sport. Go ahead, Greg.
Still can't believe $10,000 to play soccer.
Like 12.
If you would have told me a $10,000, I would have said, oh, yeah, hockey. Because there's all the equipment. But like soccer was like you showed up. They may even give you, you know, shin pads, and then here's the ball. Go run around for a little while. How much is it going to cost? $12. Sign up for the summer. You know what I mean? Like, that just sounds criminal.
Well, with a couple minutes that we have left, Quentin, where should people find more information about the Alliance or anything else that's been going on with the group?
Yeah, so we are on all social media channels, Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn. I'm not active really on Twitter, but
You're
not missing anything.
You can also go to our website and get all information as far as, you know, events and whatnot that we have coming up, programs that you can get involved in. And yeah, we want to get the word out there, and we want to bring people in to understand this is a movement that's happening. You know, I want people to jump on board.
Absolutely. Well, Quentin Prince is the executive director of the Milwaukee Youth Sports Alliance. Thank you so much for spending time with us today. This was super informative.
Appreciate you having me. This is awesome. Thank you.
Have a great day. All right, when we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll find out what's going on at the Laughing Tap this weekend.
Oh, baby.
This is As Goes Wisconsin.
My friend Teddy almost set his house on fire. He used a counterfeit, you know, a fake wall charger. He had to go to the hospital.
My big sister Jenna's face turned bright red. She was just showing people online how to use a new cream. She still has the scars.
My brother's friend Billy had to jump off his motor scooter when it caught fire. He fell and got hit by a car. He broke his leg. Blew his chances to play basketball in college.
My BFF Chloe was riding her bike and hit a ditch. Her helmet broke in two. Now, she has a brain injury.
There is a cost to buying cheap. Do you want to pay the price?
Real products are tested for safety. Protect yourself. Don't fall for fake products.
Visit ncpc.org/goforreal. Brought to you by the National Crime Prevention Council and the United States Patent and Trademark Office.
Wake up and text. Text and eat. Mm-mm. Text and catch the bus. Text and miss your stop.
Wait.
Text and be late to work.
Sorry, I'm late.
Text and work. Text and pretend to work. Text and act surprised when someone calls you out for not working.
Who, me?
Text and meet up with a friend you haven't seen in forever.
Hi.
Oh, hey.
Text and complain that they're on their phone the whole time. Text and listen to them complain that you're on your phone the whole time.
Ugh.
Text and whatever. But when you get behind the wheel, give your phone to a passenger. Put it in the glove box. Just don't text and drive. Visit StopTextsStopWrecks.org. A public service announcement brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
You are listening to Rafters Baseball here on WFHR. Brought to you by Wisconsin River Orthopedics, Gamber Johnson, Mid-State Technical College, Skyward, Aspirus Health, Solaris, Ho-Chunk Gaming Nakusa, Delta Dental of Wisconsin, SNS Distributing, El Cafe, Edward Jones Sky Manning, Comfort Air Heating Cooling Fireplaces, Chris Inda Next Home Partners, and Dixon Gun Shop. Stream every game all season long at WFHR.com or through the Civic Media app.
We're here in Green Bay in the site of the Rafters, heading north to Capital Credit Union Park to take on the Green Bay Rockers. Hello, everybody. Joey Fear with you, and glad you're here on WFHR 97.5 FM 1320 AM. Well, the Rafters play the first of a doubleheader between these two teams and a series split at two apiece. The Rafters are looking to take the series lead because they had a big game last night, don't get me wrong, winning over the Woodchucks 3-2 in dramatic fashion. The Rafters were able to get a big play from Shane Taylor, the third baseman, and that basically sealed it as he threw it out at first with those runners on second and third. So Rafters had an unbelievable save last night, an unbelievable win. And now today they take on the Green Bay Rockers, first of a doubleheader. First game started here at 12:05, the second one at 6:35. But let's get into this. The Rafters will have Kalen Graham on the mound, the product out of North Central Texas College. He'll be slotted in at the pitcher's position. Hogan Helixo, the Creighton product, will be in at catcher. Jack Gurvich at first. Chris Conniff at second. He's back in the lineup. Jorge Degatti, the Indiana product, he's third at playing third base. Garrett Broussard at shortstop. Anthony Gallison, the Coastal Carolina guy, at left field. Logan Hugo at center. And Brandon Bobo at right field. Brandon Bobo had that three-run shot yesterday, which sealed the Rafters to victory. As for the Rockers, this is a team that is red hot. They've won eight of their past nine games. They're 14-8, and they're starting with Kevon Ebron on the mound. He's going to be getting the start. Jack Holman, the UCLA product, will be in at catcher. Mateo Matthews at first base. Blake Wilson at second. Austin Folley at third. And Cooper Kelly at shortstop. West at left. Kendall Yule at center. And JoJo Jackson at right field. So, national anthem coming up here. Guys, we're going to take a quick break here on WFHR.
Kids across America are going to school hungry. Millions of kids every day. Hungry kids get sick more often and can struggle in school. It can be harder for them to focus and learn. But one simple thing can help change all of this for a hungry child in America. Good healthy food and the energy it brings. With help from caring people across America, No Kid Hungry is providing healthy meals and hope to hungry kids so they can build better futures.
We want to ensure that all of our kids have healthy meals every day.
Thank you.
Thank you for helping feed our kids.
To learn more about ending child hunger in America, go to helpnokidhungry.org today.
Hi, I'm Ryan Blaney, a third-generation race car driver, and we dedicate a lot of our time to going as fast as possible. My grandpa Lou is the reason why my dad and I started racing, and I'm really proud to follow in his tracks. But when my grandpa was diagnosed with Alzheimer's, it was a very unexpected bump in the road for us. I've learned a lot on this journey with my grandpa Lou, and the memories of my grandpa will always be with me. It's important to notice if older family members are acting differently, experiencing problems with their memory, or having trouble with routine tasks. Talking about Alzheimer's can be really tough, but if you notice something, have a conversation with your loved one. Encourage them to see a doctor or offer to go with them. Early detection of Alzheimer's can give your family time to explore support services, make a plan for the future, and access available treatments. The Alzheimer's Association provides care, support, and research to help you take control of the situation with your family and manage the disease together. If you or your family are noticing changes, it could be Alzheimer's. Talk about seeing a doctor together. Visit alz.org/time to talk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
Now, let's get back to exciting Raptors baseball here on WFHR.
Back inside Capital Credit Union Park and just about 10 minutes away from first pitch. So the Raptors are going with an interesting starting their batting order, very similar to yesterday, but a couple changes. Anthony Gallison will be getting the start at the leadoff spot. Jack Passier leading the team in batting average. He'll be put in at second. Brendan Bobo coming in at third in the batting order, hit that three-run shot yesterday that propelled the Raptors to a 3-2 victory. And that was a big sign for Raptor fans to see the team MVP last year start to have what he had last year as being put on display this year. So Bobo at third. Brendan Bobo will be, well, Bobo at third. Garrett Broussard will be coming in at fourth. Jack Gervich batting fifth. Logan Hugo sixth. Chris Conniff seventh. And Hogan Holixo eighth. And then Jorge DeGondi, the third baseman, batting ninth. As for the Rockers, they're going with Cooper Kelly to start off. So Kelly, Kyle West, a West Virginian product who, and a University of Charleston, is transferring to Power 5 for West Virginia in his hometown. So Carlos Hernandez will be DHing. Jack Holman, the UCLA guy out of Wrightwood, California, he'll be batting fourth. JoJo Jackson, a guy that's caused problems for the Raptors, batting fifth. And Kendall Yule out of the University of Kentucky, sixth. Mateo Matthews, seventh. Blake Wilson, eighth. And Austin Folley, the third baseman, also a Kentucky guy, he'll be in the nine hole. So the Raptors are going to have to look to slow down this Green Bay team that's won eight of their past nine games. They're batting .264 as a team with 133 runs scored. They've off of 201 hits, also 127 RBIs as well. They're fourth in batting average in the league, third in hits, and also fourth in home runs. They're also second in RBIs. So they're going to have to look to get that done here today. So the Raptors, the question is, are they going to have to hold a big run from the Rockers? Because that's hurt the Raptors in a game against Wausau where they lost 11-5. Those big innings for the Woodchucks really hurt the Raptors. Four runs, three runs, and like it really just hurt them. So they're going to have to look to find a way to slow down a Green Bay team that is red hot with the bats. And they have Kevon Ebron, a product who, out of Cal State Monterey Bay, he's five games appeared in with five innings pitched, allowing six hits, three runs, and five strikeouts. Also a 5.4 ERA. So he appeared against the Raptors back on June the 1st, where he had two strikeouts and an inning pitched. So that's the question. Can the Raptors slow down a Rockers team that's ready to go? Don't get me wrong, they're first in the Great Lakes West Division right now. The Raptors sit fourth, but a big win yesterday propelling them to an 11-10 record. And, well, the Raptors are going to have to find a way to get this done here today. This is first of two games, so it's a long day here at Capital Credit Union Park. It's Kids Day as well, so a lot of kids in attendance, and it's great to see on this Wednesday evening. It is, don't get me wrong, it is hot as well, 85, 86 degrees. And this game, it's all on turf, so there are no grass, and you can see because the Capital Credit Union Park has, it's interesting because out to left, it's 338. Out to right, it's definitely way shorter than that. This stadium is used for a soccer and rugby park, so it's not designed for baseball, but they have surely made it used for the great game of baseball because it is a interesting park, and don't get me wrong, it's 386 to the back part, but if you look at it like a rectangle, it's basically in the left corner where home plate is. So that's going to be the interesting part. The Raptors have already played here, you know, twice. They already know what's in store for this game because these two teams have each played four games. Raptors 1-2, Rockers 1-2. So the Raptors are looking to find a way to take the series lead on a day where it's hot. It's active and a lot of kids running around and a lot of families here because It's going to be an exciting one. Rafters and the Rockers just about set here in about 5 minutes. We'll take a quick break here on WFHR. We'll be back in a moment.
If you're a firearms enthusiast, Dixon Gun Shop LLC in Nakusa is a name to know and trust. At Dixon Gun Shop, they buy, sell, and trade firearms, ensuring you'll always find the perfect piece for your collection. And here's something special. They're a proud veteran-owned business committed to serving their community with honor and integrity. Whether you're a seasoned shooter or a first-time buyer, they'll assist you every step of the way. Dixon Gun Shop LLC, 328 Market Street, Nakusa, or call 715-886-4867. That's 715-886-4867.
Hey, baseball fans, are you ready to swing for the fences in your career instead of